You're listening to a message from Victory. In view of God's mercy, let us live out the gospel by loving God and others. Join us as we continue the book of Romans in our series, The Gospel Expressed.
Magandang araw po sa ating lahat, and we just want to welcome you to our online worship service. Ako po si Romel, and I'm one of your pastors here in Victory Metro East. Again, no, we are recording here in our center, and we are really excited for us to gather here. You see, we are a gathered church, and I believe the Lord will really enable us to meet again, no, as His body here on site. No? And so please do pray with us as we continually prepare for us to gather here on site. Of course, no, observing the rules of IATF. And so, kung kayo po ay interesado, no, pwede po bang malaman natin kung gusto niyo po at maaari po kayong pumunta sa ating center kapag nag-open na po tayo? Pwede po ba kayong mag-wave dyan para malaman natin, ano, at mapulsahan lang natin kung ilan po yung pupunta dito sa ating center kapag pwede na po tayong mag-gather together. Ano? And so, please do watch out for that and pray for that. Ano? And so, we are now on the third week of our series, The Gospel Express, okay? And we are still on the book of Romans. And I want us to really recall, ano po ba yung background ng book of Romans as we continue our series? Ano? So, this book was written to the believers at the very heart of the Roman Empire, which is in Rome. No? Napakarami pong slaves, napakataas ng mga taxes na kanilang binabayaran just to keep up the empire and its military rule. Though peaceful at this time under Caesar Nero, the great persecution have not yet started, but it's definitely on its way, you know. And so, though peaceful, the Roman Empire is not actually a democracy, and it's not particularly friendly with Christians, ano? And so, yun po yung background natin. And as we have discussed in Romans chapter 12, now that we are under the mercies of God, Paul laid out to us how we are going to relate first and foremost to God. Paano ba tayo mag-relate kay God now that we are under His mercy? That we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And then Paul goes on to say, how are we now going to relate to the other believers? And Paul says that we are to humble ourselves. We have to have a right estimation of ourselves. And at the same time, we are to use our giftings and our talent to serve other people. And then he goes on to say, not only are we going to relate to God under His mercy to other believers, but now to people in general, including our enemies. And Paul has to say that in relating to other people, we are to love genuinely. We are to bless those who persecute us. We got to live in harmony with one another. And so ito po yung pinaka-context, no, ng pag-aaralan natin ngayon. And I want me, allow me to read muna, no, yung mga few verses before we go to Romans 13. Ano. And so ito po yung mga couple of verses bago po tayo magpunta sa Romans 13. And it says in Romans 12, 17 to 21, repay no one evil for evil. Again, in the context of Roman Empire, there would be a whole lot of opportunity for them to repay evil for evil. But Paul says, do not do that. But give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Okay, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then the last verse before Romans 13, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And with this as our premise, Paul goes on to say, how are we now going to relate to the civil rulers, to the governing authorities? And so ito po yung makikita natin in Romans 13, 1 to 7, which is our text for today. And so allow me to read Romans 13, 1 to 7. Sabi po dito, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Let's just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that let your word speaks to us and enable us to apply this word as we are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, as we are under the mercies of God. Enable us to respect and honor authorities in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. And so titingnan po natin, ano, in verses 1 and 2, it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgments. And so makikita po natin dito that we are to submit to governing authorities. And ang ibig pong sabihin ng submit dito is to line up under God's arrangement, no? To voluntarily and willingly cooperate. It means to yield. And so that Christians are to be law-abiding citizens, good citizens, and are not lawbreakers or troublemakers. Napaka-interesting po to nung sinabi ni Paul, no? The writer of this book. Why? Because he had often been in prisons. He had been frequently flogged doing his ministry in the different cities of Rome, okay, in the Roman Empire. And he was fully aware that governing authorities could actually be unjust. And yet he still wrote here under the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit to submit to governing authorities. No? And so this was in contrast to a group of zealous Jews in that day who recognized no king but God and paid taxes to no one but God. No? Ito po yung group ng mga zealot. No? They are a member of Jewish sect noted for its uncompromising opposition to pagan Rome. And the zealots were an aggressive political party whose concern for the national and religious life of the Jewish people even led them to despise even Jews who sought peace and conciliation with the Roman authorities. And yet, Paul says we got to submit. Why? Because governing authorities are ordained by God, no? So sinasabi po dito ni Paul na dapat po tayong magpasakop sa mga namumuno sa pamahalaan sapagkat ang lahat ng pamahalaan ay nagmula sa Diyos at siya ang naglagay sa mga namumuno sa kanilang pwesto. And so sinasabi po dito that power has only one source and that source is God. For there is no authority except from God. And those that exist, okay, kung sino man po yung mga nabumuno doon, they have been placed there by God. As imperfect as they are, no matter how good or how poorly they use that authority, it is God who put them in power. And so we are to submit to governing authorities because God ordained them. No? Si Lord po ang nagtalaga sa kanila, sa kanilang mga pwesto. And so since governments have authority from God, we are bound to submit to them. But when we are asked to do something that is contrary to the word of God, okay, we are commanded to obey God rather than men. No? Sabi po ni John Stott, no? Granted that the authority of rulers is derived from God. What happens if they abuse it? If they reverse their God-given duty? Commanding those who do evil and punishing those who do good. Does the requirement to submit still stand in such a morally perverse situation? No, the principle is clear. We are to submit right up to the point where obedience to the state would entail disobedience to God. But if the state commands what God forbids or forbids what God commands, then our plain Christian duty is to resist, not to submit, to disobey the state in order for us to obey God. As Peter and the other apostles put it to the Sanhedrin, we must obey God rather than man. And then he goes on to say, whenever laws are enacted which contradict God's law, civil disobedience becomes a Christian duty. You know? At saka napakarami pong ganitong example in the Bible. No? Kung maalala po natin si Pharaoh when he ordered the Hebrew midwives no, to kill the newborn boys. No? Ano pong ginawa ng mga Hebrew midwives? They basically disobeyed. Okay, the midwives feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. So these Hebrew midwives, they feared God, all right? Though the Pharaoh instituted that they have to kill the boys, but because they feared God, they would rather obey God than men, and they let the boys live. When King Nebuchadnezzar, okay, issued an edict that all his subjects must fall down and worship his golden image, ano pong ginawa ni Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't bow down. They didn't worship that God. They put their lives on the line. Why? Because first and foremost, they feared God rather than man. When King Darius made a decree that for 30 days, okay, nobody should pray to any god or man except to himself. No, grabe to si King Darius, no? Daniel refused to obey. Why? Because he would rather fear God than man. It cost Daniel, okay, he was thrown into the lion's den, but basically, God did save him. And when the Sanhedrin banned preaching in the name of Jesus, Peter and John refused to obey. Why? Because they would rather obey God than men. And so in this example, we can see that biblical civil disobedience is rooted in the fear of God, not in human anger. It is about saving lives, not destroying lives. No. And so if the government forces us to abort babies, we should resist that. If the government is wanting us to pass a law allowing divorce and same-sex marriage, we should resist that. If the government would persecute the church and forbids us to gather as believers, we should gather anyway. Pero syempre po, no, iba po itong COVID-19 at pandemic. No? Kaya po tayo hindi inalaw mag-gather in the past months. It's really for our own safety and for our own health. No? And so if the government banned the Bible, we should own and distribute Bibles anyway. If an institution would forbid us to pray and preach the gospel, we should pray anyway and preach the gospel anyway. When we are asked to do something that is in contrary to the word of God, we are commanded as Christians to obey God rather than men. But as a general principle, since God has ordained governing authorities, we must be in subjection to it, or we are in rebellion against God. And really, God ordained governing authorities for a purpose, no? Verses 3 to 4 says, for the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities as are God's servants, no? Grabe ito, no? Sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course, you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. And so God ordained authorities to protect, okay, the community and punish the criminal. They are there to promote good and to restrain evil. Those are the primary functions of a government. And so they are God's servants sent for our good, to honor and to protect those who do what is right. God's servants sent for the purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. When we disobey the law, we will incur judgment from the government, for they have been given power by God to punish wrongdoers. This means that civil government in general is a great blessing from God for which we should be thankful. No, dapat po pala, nagpapasalamat po tayo sa ating gobyerno. Without civil government, there would be an anarchy. Ano po ba yung anarchy? It is a state of disorder due to absence or non-recognition of authority. That would be a horrible alternative in which evil would run rampant. No? Kasi po, no, kapag walang gobyerno, kapag walang authority, edi kanya-kanya na po tayo. No? Walang peace and order. Who will protect the innocent? Who will restrain evil in this world? Who will promote peace and order? And that's why in general, governing authorities, they are a blessing from God. You see, because of the sinfulness of man, God has ordained, governing authorities to restrain evil. Pero dahil din po sa kasalanan, those in government position are often prone to misuse their authority for their own benefit, not for the benefit of those under their authority. Kaya kailangan po natin silang ipanalangin, no? We got to preach the gospel to them. We got to disciple them, by the word of God, so that they will be able to fulfill their calling, and their purpose with the fear of God. At ang isa pang napaka-interesting dito, no? Paul described government officials as God's servant, God's minister, no? Kapag sinabi niyo pong minister, ito po yung mga tao, Christian believers or elders who are serving and ministering in the church, no? And so, kapag nakakita po kayo ng checkpoint, ngayon medyo marami pong checkpoint, marami pong mga police, no? Or when an MMDA, pinara ka, no? Ano pong nasa isip mo? There's a minister of God right there. Diba? Kapag binaba mo yung window mo, halimbawa na lang napara ka ng isang police, no? Sabi mo sa kanya, hello po, ministro. Alright? Hi, reverend, no? O kaya nagpunta po kayo sa munisipyo, nagpunta po kayo sa inyong barangay city hall, no? Barangay City Hall. Barangay Hall, no? Para kumuha ng sedula, magbayad ng permit, at nakita mo yung mayor mo, city councilor, nakita mo yung barangay captain mo, or kung sino mga employee na nagtatrabaho in that government office, ano po bang nasa isip natin? Oh, there goes the ministers of God doing their function. Nako, ako po, hindi ko po naisip yan na ang mga governing authorities pala ay mga minister ni Lord, no? Lalo na kapag napara ako ng MMDA. Pero ang sinasabi po dito ni Paul, government officials are ministers of God. Paul said that twice, and then there's another one, I think in verse 6, no? Meaning government officials have a calling from the Lord. A ministry in the plan and the administration of God, just as much as a church leader do. Governing authorities occupy a divinely appointed office, therefore, they must be respected. And we might know some people, who are civil rulers na alam natin yung character nila. And sometimes parang it's hard for us to honor and respect them. We may not be able to honor and respect the person himself, but knowing that God has ordained these people in this position, at least we respect and honor, their office. On the other hand, governing authorities must also recognize that they are ministers of God, servants of God. Okay? That their authority comes from the Lord, that their position and power comes from God. That it is not an absolute authority, but a delegated authority for the good of the people. And so governing authorities are God's minister, and they should remember that they are servants and not gods. No? So yun po yung kailangan nilang maunawaan. Kaya nga po ang tawag sa mga government officials ay public servants. Okay, they are not gods to be served. They are servants to serve, the good of the people. And should the servants or ministers of God, the governing authorities, continually use their power for their own selfish gains, abuse their authority, they must also be punished as they are proven guilty by the same law they are called to implement and to uphold. And they will be accountable to the Lord, who entrusted them with such authority, who will ultimately dispense the right judgment to every evildoer. Kaya napaka-importante po nung context na binasa natin kanina, no? Ang sinasabi po ni Lord, di ba, let us leave room for the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. That those people, those governing authorities, no, makalusot po sila sa mata ng tao, sa mata ng batas. Hindi po sila makakalusot sa mata ng Diyos. And so God ordained governing authorities to protect the community and to punish the criminals. And then verses 5 to 7, therefore, Paul concluding here about the government, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience, no? For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God. Again, there's that word. Attending to this very thing, pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And so we are to submit to governing authorities, not only for the fear of punishment, but for conscience' sake. Okay, what is conscience? Ano po ba yung konsensya? Okay, sino po ba dito na konsensya na kanaka? Okay? It is the function of the divine image which equips all people with a God-given capacity to know what is right from wrong. Paul means that we should be subject to our government not only because we fear punishment if we break the law, but also because we fear God who knows our hearts. This makes keeping the law of our land not just a matter of outward compliance, okay, but also of inward obedience to God. Na kaya po tayo nagko-comply, no? Na kaya po tayo sumusunod at nagsasubmit sa gobyerno, okay? Hindi lang po dahil natatakot po tayo sa punishment na makukuha natin kapag po tayo ay nahuli, but because we are submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with inward obedience, we are honest because we want to have a clear conscience before God who reads our tax form even before we submit it to the government. And so submission to the government is not just a matter of our outward compliance, but also of our inward obedience to God. It is for conscience' sake that we are to display Christ-likeness in the way we relate to the governing authorities by being honest in all our dealings with them. By implication also, okay, this means that the taxes collected by the government are to be used to get the job done of restraining evil and keeping an orderly society, not to enrich the government official themselves. At kapag patuloy po nilang pinagagawa yan, again, their authority is a delegated authority, not an absolute authority. They would have to be accountable to God Himself. And so as we recognize that God ordained the government to keep order, that they have been divinely appointed by God, every time we obey the laws of the land, like paying our taxes correctly, there is a sense in us that we are supporting the plan, the administration, and the work of God through them. Why? Because it is God who instituted governing authorities. And so some practical application, no? So number one, what should we do? Well, number one, we got to pray for civil rulers. Okay, 1 Timothy 2:1-4 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, no, all those in authority, no exemption, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, and this is good, and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so first thing that we could do in application, we got to pray for civil rulers. But not only pray, we got to preach the gospel to them. God desires all people to be saved. And that includes our mayor, our senators, our congressmen, okay, our barangay captain, okay, and including our very own president. When given an opportunity, not only to pray for them, but we got to preach to them. Okay, how else can we be able to apply this? Then we got to participate in the civil affairs of our nation. So kung meron po kayong tawag na tumakbo in a political office, then you better run. You better fulfill the call of God in your life. Prepare yourselves. Learn now, no? And so what else? Vote. Tayo po ay bumoto, no? Kung hindi pa po kayo nagpaparehistro, alam ko po, nagsimula na nung September pa, no? Yung pagrerehistro. And so we got to be able to register so we can vote. We will be able to exercise our power, okay? Our authority na maglukluk po ng mga mamumuno para sa ating bayan, no? And really, could you imagine? Could you imagine with me if there will be more godly leaders like Vico Soto who will govern our nation? What would our city look like? What would our nation look like if there will be more righteous people who will be in the government? I mean, look at what Vico Soto is doing now. Grabe, unprecedented. And so we need more people like him. And probably you are one of those people that God is calling to run in the political office. And number four, we got to protest as necessary. Call our government to account. Diba kaya napaka-importante no, yung mga public pressure na ginagawa ng mga kabataan, lalo na in social media, it's a very good platform, but we protest as necessary within the bounds of the law without reviling authority. Ano po yung sabihin ng reviling? Without an abusive or angrily insulting manner, no? And so we call them to account, but not in a manner that we're judging them, that one in a manner na galit na po tayo and we're insulting already those people. We can protest as necessary, but within the bounds of the law and without reviling authority. Sabi po ni Warren Wiersbe, no? A Christian citizen ought to be the best citizen. Christians may not always agree on politics or parties, but they can all agree on their attitude toward human government. And what should be our attitude toward human government, toward other people? Again, meron po tayong binasa kanina in Romans 12. But let me proceed with the next verse. No? After Paul discussing how should we relate to the government, and then he goes on to proceed okay, to chapter 8 to 10. Ito pong sabi dito, no, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this world, in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so as Christians, God demands that we love real people, to love our neighbors. And those neighbors include, guess what? Civil rulers, people in the government. And that includes also our enemies if we have. You see, we are bound by the scripture to love, respect, and pray for governing authorities. Our love is the true measure of our obedience to God. We may not always agree on politics, but we can all agree on our attitude toward human government as people under the mercies of God. And then Paul ended this chapter in verse 14 by saying, therefore, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. And so the metaphor of putting on Christ implies not just imitating Christ's character, but also living in close personal fellowship with Him. That even though believers have a new life now, we must still constantly renounce the flesh and refuse to gratify its desires. That our relationship with Christ provides the basis for proper submission toward the human government. This text rests on the assumption that we are in submission to God and want to please Him. He is showing us how the submission to God plays out in our relationship to our government. And so before we get right with the government, we gotta get right with God. And how do we do that? By repenting of our sins and trusting in Christ alone as our Savior and as our Lord. That is the premise of this text, that out of our submission to God and in our submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we are able to submit to governing authorities. Amen? Join me in a word of prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up to You our government. Lord, You said that first of all, petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority. And so, Lord, we pray for our president. Lord, we pray for our senators. Lord God, for our congressmen, for our mayors. Lord God, for those people who are part of the legislative, executive, judiciary, God. Lord, up until, Lord God, to the barangay captains, Lord God, hanggang sa barangay tanod, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray and lift them up before You. Lord, we pray for Your grace to abound in their lives. Lord, we pray for the fear of God. Lord, that they would recognize that they are in their position for a purpose. Lord God, that you're calling them, God, and that they would fulfill, Lord God, their mandate, Lord God, to promote the good of the people, Lord God, to protect the innocent, Lord God, and to punish those who do what is not right. Lord, we pray for wisdom for them, God. Lord, we also pray for protection and strength to be upon them, God. Lord, even to their families. Lord, we pray that our government, Lord God, would have unity, Lord God, that they would learn to cooperate with one another, God, that they would collaborate, Lord God, especially at this season in our lives. Lord God, with this pandemic, Lord, and Lord God, with our economy, Lord God. Lord, we pray for grace. Lord, we pray for unity. Lord, we pray for wisdom, Lord God. Lord, we pray for your blessing and just the fear of God, Lord, to our government, God. And Lord, at the same time, Lord, would you continually expose, God, government officials who continually abuse their authority, who continually use their authority, Lord God, to corrupt, Lord God, the things that is really for the people, God. Lord, would you have your way? God, even in our civil authorities, God, Lord, would you continually heal our land? In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. One last group of people I want to pray for. You know, if you're here, before we talk about submitting to government authorities, that is really very, very impossible apart from your submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And so would you submit your life today to the absolute authority who has the power of life and that has the power to change your life, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you take this time to submit your life to Him? And if you're one of those people, would you please pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I submit my life to you. Lord, I repent of all my sins. And Lord, would you forgive me? Jesus, I recognize that you are my Lord and my Savior. I submit my life to you, my will to you. Be the Lord, be the master of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray that prayer, pwede po bang mag-comment kayo, okay, sa ating comment section and just say, I pray that prayer and I want to know more about this newfound relationship with Christ. Amen. Let me just pray for you even as we end our service today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and looks with favor towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. See you again next week.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged by the message. For more podcasts and updates, visit victory.org.ph or download the Victory app. You may also give through our website and share your prayer requests and answered prayers with us there.